The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So, anyway, yeah, it's...
So, Jod not even in the running of your list there in terms of most worn this past week.
I mean, aren't people wearing Ant-Man shoes, are they?
Well, let's see. That's a good one. That's a good comparison to considering where the two are in their career.
Yeah, because he doesn't. I mean, he's Adidas, right?
Yes.
Let's see if I can even find it. AE1 is what is his shoe. So let's see. He's got some
more than Ja.
He's got some. None that are good though. He's got Jabari Smith Jr. Jabari Smith Jr. wears them. Maxwell Lewis wore them. Ryan Rupert wore them.
These are relevance.
Right.
Ja might still have him.
He might.
Some of the names you said.
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty rough. A lot of European guys are wearing them. And some WNBA, but no, it doesn't even have him on here. I mean, he's got to wear them, right?
Do folks wear Tatum's shoe?
He has a shoe?
Doesn't he have a, Tatum's got a shoe? It's a Jordan, isn't
There's
it?
No way. I'll look it up. I guarantee you.
But it's like, I never see anybody talking about him or wearing them.
Let's see.
So his thing.
Maybe I was wrong. A little more popular than I thought. So the Jordan Tatum 2, Bilal Coulibaly, Grant Williams, Stephon Castle, Marcus Sasser.
He got some young ones.
Cam Whitmore, Jordan Clarkson wore him on Halloween, Bryce Sensabaugh. I mean, you know, he's got, you know, a little five-man roster there. You know, seems like Bilal.
If you're Ja, don't you just send everybody a pair?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that usually works.
Like, in terms of if that's your goal to get them on more players in the NBA, you just send everybody. You know, obviously your team's got whatever they want.
Right.
Colorway. But your guys, or maybe even just complimentary pairs, you can certainly afford it and try to get them out there. I'd just send them out.
I mean, it's trial and error, too. You know, you got to get the feedback. You got to improve. You got to, you know, continue to. But, you know, I feel like not a lot of people wear LeBron's, though. I feel like, you know, his shoe is just like. Not one that everybody gets, you know, excited to wear. I could be wrong on that. Let's just look up LeBron. We could spend all damn day on this. I'm just going to pick a random LeBron here.
There's too many numbers for me to have kept up which one's which.
Yeah.
LeBron.
Kobe White. Desmond Bain wears LeBron's.
Except he's talked about that except for when he plays them, I think.
Right.
I think that maybe that was one of them. We saw that in the story here.
Zeke Nagy. Tristan Thompson. So, not a ton.
Tristan, all washed up, so.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, interesting stuff, man. Interesting stuff.
We got work to do.
Yeah, we do, man. We do.
Come on, Nike.
Get back on the court, and then we'll.
We need more commercials.
Need more commercials, no question, man. I mean, Ant-Man and Adidas marketing killed us.
It's everywhere.
The Halloween one, you know? I mean, we got to pick it up. We got to pick the marketing up. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. We're going to be joined by Parthu Padhyay, 12:30. Talk to him about this week in Maui, Penny and Tyrese Hunter and everything he's seeing and hearing. And then Norton Hurd will join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Part of the Padgett going to join us in just a little bit, and we'll talk to him about this matchup and what he's learned about this Memphis team. I will say this for Parth. If I was, you know, skeptical about this Memphis team, he said they were going to the Sweet 16.
Dang. You laughed at him and that made us laugh.
Don't distance me. Don't distance yourself
from me.
Because
you led us in the laughter, we laughed with you.
Yeah.
Munns did it too, but it was bold.
Right, it was bold. I mean, this was just a straightaway prediction on a Tuesday.
From his heart.
Yeah. And, I mean, if this team doesn't look like a damn second weekend team right now, I mean, it's amazing. Look, Penny has opted not to take the victory lap, right? We'll see if Parth does the same. Penny has passed on those opportunities. Look, it's easy to say, yeah, nobody believed in us. Andy Katz apologizing to him, you know. He's like, I was wrong about you. And Penny was like, I appreciate that. He's very zen. As opposed to, again, it's like, it's amazing, like, I don't know, we got to do the rundown here. Let's just do the rundown. Let's make this a part of that conversation because I think it is now part of the conversation. So I think that's the part of this week that has, as much as the wins has stuck out to me, has been the way that Penny has handled the success, which is to say, brilliantly. You know, we talked about it. I mean, the moment of the off season was the interview that he did on the radio station. I apologize, I forget the radio station, but it was marked by defensiveness. It was marked by, you know, he felt like he was cornered. It was marked by all those different things, right? Like he was talking about media. He was talking about the way he was treated. He was talking about all these different things, right? And you contrast that with how he has sort of, I guess, ever since that media day, right? It started at AAC media day. He's talked about just how much he's learned and how he understands that everybody has a job to do. I just feel like he's, you know, and I think maybe it's sort of coming through with his team. Like he's just kind of stepped back and said, listen, I'm going to let the results speak for me. I'm going to get the results and I'm going to let those results speak for me. And I think it's a part of him that he has learned. He's done both. He's not let the results speak, and now he is. And I just think like this is a really good place that he's in right now, and I hope that it persists throughout the season.
Well, we saw the turning of the page by him before things got started, because he apologized for some of those things that he had said in that interview, and when he had been, you know, in defensive mode, I'm being attacked. Also said the program would go down after him, essentially.
Right, yep.
You know, that's where he was. He had come back, and I would tell you, and if we're timelining it, I would just be really interested to see how soon it was after Memphis brings in Tim Duncan after hiring Ed Scott.
Interesting.
Because I think if I'm going to just use that administration, I think the new AD there, and then Tim, who understands Penny so well, but also has a different understanding, because now Tim's been an athletic director. He's not just Penny's former teammate.
That's right.
And he understands in terms of, you know, what you can invite unnecessarily.
Yep.
When you do interviews, and maybe, you know, in some cases let your true feelings be known, but there's ways to avoid all that. And listen, Penny's already learned some of that on his own, this back and forth with Rick Barnes. He had slowed down on that stuff and sort of, you know, some of that bravado, let's be real, long before Ed Scott and Tim Duncan got here. But I'm telling you, there was a sort of come to Jesus, Penny, let's just control what we can.
Absolutely.
And I absolutely want to, you know, Penny, yes, this is what I need to do. But I think it's who he's got around him now has helped with that. And you're certainly listening when a Tim Duncan says, brother, let's just control what we can. So it's been great, and it's been great, to your point, to see it continue through this season. Doesn't go back to, oh, y'all were all against me now. You know what I'm saying? Y'all were all against me, and now you want to jump back on. No need to do that. That may even be how he feels. But as a college basketball head coach, it's got to be about so much more than just how you feel. It's what you're saying. It's what you're, you know, what's your aura, what's coming off of you, how in this case, grateful Penny has talked about being, not taking things for granted. I think you just tend to be more relatable that way. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Get folks back in your corner that way.
Yeah.
Get faith restored that way it's a little bit easier to do than telling people they're wrong about you.
Yeah,
you
know it's been great. It's been great.
And as you said, let the results speak for themselves. The results have been fantastic for him so far.
Yes. So I just you know, I think it's just a much better approach for everybody involved. When you know you don't have to convince people about these results, bro. You don't have to get on a soapbox.
Yeah, but it's understandable. It's understandable too, because we've seen it with coaches other than Penny. I mean, when coaches get to that point where folks are writing that you're on a warmer or hotter seat,
yep,
you get defensive.
Absolutely right.
And just about every one of them that we've had here,
yeah,
has gotten in that boat, including Josh. You know how Tubby was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for Penny to be in the same boat, in this case, it's a little more unique for him, and I can understand feeling a certain kind of way about it because you feel like it's your own people. The people that have been with you all your career, the people that saw you grow up, and you've been putting on for Memphis all your life. Even when you went down to, you know, Orlando, at that point, you had Memphis fans rooting for you because there were no Grizzlies. But the point was, you felt like you've put on and represented the city well. Now you're getting criticized, and that hurts. And so you take it personal. But a guy like Tim Duncan and Ed, you know, you can understand it's not. Josh has told us.
Yep.
Now that as a member of the media, yeah, I took it personally as a coach.
Yep.
Just imagine as a human being, it's hard not to.
He was on the TBS or True TV or whatever the hell that was on last. He was on the halftime broadcast of Rutgers and Bama.
Is he still doing the ESPN work or not as much and gone over there?
I think he'll once they get into like conference play and stuff. Ooh. I think he'll
because I thought he'd gotten pretty comfortable last year.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. He did give up Field of 68, unfortunately. But he was only doing like once a month anyway, so they had to get some more consistent people in with Josh. So, it's definitely a part of the week. It's just been, you know, and good. We talked about this as you know, Goodman tweeted it. They did this hot seat show, and they had Penny on there, right? And we said on this show, I even tweeted Goodman. I said Penny is not on the hot seat. That's not the correct characterization of the Memphis program. You know, is he on alert? You know, just generally? Of course. I mean, everybody knows that. But was it like a hot, like, oh, if you don't win, you're, no. I mean, it's a lot more complicated than that. But the way, what I wrote today is if we're saying that Penny was on a hot seat, that man has been taking bathtubs of water from the Pacific and just dousing the seat this week. No more conversations like that. I mean, you would have to have an ungodly second straight collapse. And the difference is pretty clearly to me, and we've talked about this as well, even as Memphis was entering the ascending to the top 10, there were still plenty of cynics out there about them, that they were just barely getting by Vandy, they were barely getting by Austin Peay. Like, there were still definitely some question marks about Memphis, even as they were a top 10 team. And I don't think we will have the same questions about this Memphis team once they leave Maui. So 4 o'clock Memphis time will be the tip for the championship game. And Memphis will try to do something that they have never done, which is win the Maui Invitational. They've never made the title game. They did go in 2006, by the way. That was the
06.
That was the year with Cal.
Found it.
They beat Kentucky that year. I think that would have been Tubby, right? And then they lose to Georgia Tech and Thad.
It was Thad.
Yeah. I think that was Thad, right? Maybe I'm making that up.
Was Crittenden in there, too?
Let's see. Hold on. It'd be crazy if I just made that up off the top of my head.
So Penny beat Chaminade. And back then, we used to come out, Memphis State throw the alley-oop, man, right to start the game. He beat Chaminade, and then they lost to BYU in overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Thad. It was Javaris Crittenden. It was Thad. It was Anthony Morrow.
Anthony Morrow. Shooter, I want to say. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's
no, that's him. Morrow. He was off the bim. He didn't shoot well in this one, but I don't remember any other of these names. Lewis Clinch.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
Zachary Peacock?
Nah, but you had the two, the important ones. You confirmed it for us.
Starting five for Memphis? You may know him. CDR? 26 in this one. Antonio Anderson? 15 in this one. Willie Kemp was starting. Rob Dozier? I guess he got hurt because he only played 8 minutes. And then Joey Dorsey played 32. Jeremy Hunt off the bench? 16. and 3 of 7 from three.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of funny to go back in time and look at these. Memphis was up 16 at the half. They were up 46-30. They were outscored 62-39 in the second half. You remember this game at all?
No. Not at all.
I mean, where the you must have been.
I remember 92 with Penny more than I remember that one. I was not glued in on in 06.
Where were you in the ocean when this game was happening?
No, I was at some high school sporting event for covering for the paper.
This was the EA Sports Maui Invitational.
Yeah, remember the days it was EA?
So
what is it now? Novavax.
No, get your COVID
they
vaccine.
They got the new best COVID vaccine.
I'm like, yo, I mean, like, I respectfully, who's still getting that? I mean, I guess that's
it's
why
the
they're
newest
doing
and the bestest, they say in the commercial.
Maybe I should get it.
Penny beat Chaminade, lost to BYU in OT in the semifinal, which is where they were yesterday. So with the advanced pass where he was as a player, then he beat LSU in the consolation game, whatever place game that was, and was named co-MVP of the tourney, not even making the finals, with Bobby Hurley. Duke won.
How about that?
He's got a chance to. I mean, he's already passed what he did as a player.
Yeah.
And he's passed what any Memphis coach, including Cal, has done before him, never advanced to the title game.
Yeah, he talked about that in the post game last night. He talked about.
I didn't hear that. What did he say?
He said he really wanted to play Duke. That was his whole thing. He really wanted to play Bobby Hurley. That was like.
I can't believe they gave him co-MVP and didn't even make the final.
Yeah.
But that's how much of a prospect he was.
Right.
He also had 37, which I think is still one of the top five. Yeah, you know, most points scored in a Maui Invitational.
Yeah, like that was his whole point was that I really wanted a shot at Duke, and he didn't get it. But he's got a shot.
They lost in overtime to BYU. That'd be something to look at. Who was on that BYU team that beat him in overtime?
Man, it don't matter. You can't be out here losing to BYU, man.
They lost in overtime. It was clearly a hell of a game, dude. At BYU had to have somebody to overcome Penny Hardaway and that Memphis State team. They were good.
Let's see. I got the AP story for you.
I had the score at one point.
Kevin Nixon.
I don't remember Kevin Nixon.
How about a little Gary? How about a little Gary Trost?
No, I thought there'd be a name.
How about a little Nick Sanderson?
I probably should recognize one of them, but I don't.
Damn, man!
So they don't have like a Jimmer or something back then. They didn't have one that had like Thetty.
Nah, dude.
Okay.
Nah, well, they just had the.
That was our chance right there with Penny, man. That was our best chance.
Yeah, that was our best chance.
When Chaminade used to be in it.
And I'm assuming Duke beat the crap out of him in the title game.
Duke played. I'm not sure who they played because Memphis didn't make the. Oh, BYU. Yeah, they would have beat. Yeah, I'm assuming they did.
I don't know what the final was, but that would be my assumption.
Man, we're gonna you know finally write history here tonight, today. This afternoon.
Yeah, it was 89-66 Duke.
Handle them.
I like how we're doing like our Maui history lesson here. This is good.
We have a history in
Lahaina.
Maui. It's the best we've ever done.
Yeah.
And what's arguably the best ever, they've said the field. Billis was saying this might be the best ever field.
Dude, everybody in this field is 5-1 or 6-0.
When this thing started, and I know we've got an unranked team technically in the title game, but Memphis has clearly proven it's one of the better teams in the country, at least early this season.
I mean, UConn has to play Dayton today. I mean, you know, that's going to be a tough one for them. Dayton's a good team.
Dayton had North Carolina down 21.
Yeah. Like, that is the one thing that I've, like, noticed.
So, this is a good Maui to win.
Every damn game that you see in Maui is like 5-1 ranked, 6-0, 5-1. It's like, damn, bro, there's no letdown. There's no gimme in this tournament. You know what I'm saying? I guess Colorado, but Colorado beat UConn yesterday. So, you know. I don't know, man. I don't think there's
Hurley had to be held back again. He is out of control.
No question. No question. We're going to see what that team's made of today, trying to avoid 0-3 in Maui. We're going to do this. We're going to take a break, come back, continue our Maui history lesson with Parth Upadhyay. He's been there all week long, and obviously he'll be there for the title game a little later this afternoon. So we'll talk to him about the week for Memphis, you know, what he's heard and seen, all that. Stick around. Jason and John, 93.5 ESPN.
It's all gravy this weekend on FanDuel, which means you're getting a feast of rewards all weekend long. No, you got to have the gravy. And right now, all customers can get a no-sweat NFL same-game parlay to celebrate the occasion. Just place a three-leg same-game parlay. You'll get bonus bets back. If your bet doesn't win, NFL same-game parlay is a perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Like to say, turn a couple of bucks into a tank of gas or go for more. Build your own or choose from one of the popular SGPs that are pre-built for you already in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. Go check it out. What are you waiting for? Start your feast now with a no-sweat same-game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/JSmith. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. It's only at FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Opt-in required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max wager, $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
In a little less than 4 hours from now, Memphis will try for a championship. Maui Invitational Championship against Auburn. Parth Upadhyay going to be there for the Daily Memphian. He's been there all week long. He joins us now. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
They say that on the, is that what they say on the island all the time? They just say that when you're just walking past?
They do. They say it, you know, I think it means hi and goodbye, you know, so they say it all the time.
Right.
Yep. Bumper sticker.
It's amazing. It's my new favorite word.
Oh, aloha is your new favorite word?
Yes, sir.
What's the, isn't there like, there's the mahalo?
Mahalo, which I think means thank you, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
Yeah, have been you trying to learn the lingo. But
have you told Petty mahalo for his performance this week in Maui yet?
In a variety of words, yes. I have, and so has Andy Katz, and so has Jeff Goodman, and John Fanta, and everybody else in the country. It was crazy, man. Like, after that press conference yesterday, after Memphis beat Michigan State, Andy Katz was doing his stand-up outside the gym, you know, that he does after every game with every coach. And one of the first things out of his mouth is, you know, Penny, I and others were wrong. You know, this is a top 10, top 15 team. So it's just been surreal, I think, to see people, like, legitimately apologize for overlooking Memphis and not realizing what this team was.
In terms of the way this has unfolded, Parth, and the way that Memphis has gone about winning these two games against Dan Hurley and Tom Izzo, what part of it has surprised you most?
Yeah, I think just the different ways in which they won both games, right? Like the one against UConn, they scored 99 points. They shot 54.5% from three and just had this offensive explosion, which, you know, you wonder if that's sustainable. We've talked about that, right? Like, we've wondered if Memphis is going to be a top five, even top 10 team in three-point shooting for the rest of the season. Probably not. Doesn't mean they can't be really good, but to sustain this would be unusual, right, to say the least. But then against Michigan State, you know, you kind of junk up that game. You hold the Spartans to, what, 40% shooting, less than 40% from three, and kind of come back to earth with some of those offensive numbers, but still win the game by eight. And I thought that was encouraging.
Yeah. You wrote about Tyrese Hunter today. I wrote a little bit about it in my piece about Penny. But his emergence and ascension, I feel like has definitely characterized the week, and specifically the three-pointer. It seemed like he really credited, obviously himself, the work that he's put in, but also like getting in pairing with a coach that felt like there was more to unlock with him. It seems like that has really made a difference for him.
Yeah, he just talked about, and it was nice to see. He talked about kind of the trust Penny had in him, and you know, Penny seeing that, hey, like you're a good shooter, but there's still something else there. Like you can still put up a higher volume, and you know, and even get better in year four of college basketball. And we've seen that with other players too, right? Like we saw it with Kendrick, where he came here and got better defensively and got to be a better shooter and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, still early, but it seems like this is one of those kind of point guard and Penny combinations that should be successful.
How much has Penny talked about, and John was telling me a little bit about it, but his experience, right, back in 92, and I know we saw a little bit of that yesterday just in terms of the broadcast. He was co-MVP, I think, with Hurley, but they didn't make the final. This is the first Memphis team to have made the final. But how much has he talked about his experience and wanting to, you know, sort of do his part as a coach to, you know, make this the greatest one that Memphis has ever been a part of?
Yeah, not much. But when he was asked about it yesterday, he did say that, you know, it's truly God, I think is what he said, or something along those lines, that, you know, he gets to be the second former coach to now, or former player to now lead his team in Maui as a coach. Not only that, but then to have a chance to win the title that kind of escaped him in 92. I think he's talked about just that being a full circle moment and just kind of, you know, it being another one of those things that he thanks God for.
Talking to Parthi Padiyai from the Daily Memphian, going to obviously be out there. Are you staying through Thanksgiving? You're just going to make it a longer? Like, I mean, we know how you get down, big dog. Let us know. What's the itinerary?
I'm tempted. I'm tempted to you know, extend my time in paradise. I'm not going to lie to you, but I am scheduled to return tomorrow night.
Got you. Yeah. I mean, you could always, you know, work that out, man. I mean, working remotely in 2024 is definitely the wave. So
have you jumped off Black Rock or gotten a massage, Parth?
I have not. But, man, I'll tell you, watching, you know, Ed Scott and President Hargrave jump off Black Rock makes me kind of want to do it. It looked fun.
Yeah. Jason also did it back in the day.
So if you don't, we'll be disappointed.
Right. I mean, it's just like a tradition, you know, like,
yeah, and you're younger, I think, than I was then. So come on, Parth, you got to swim out. You can swim, can't you?
I can float.
Oh,
so you can't swim.
A swimmer doesn't. We'll need some devices,
man,
to get us
I'm
out.
Scared. Look, I'm scared of sharks, man. Like jumping into the ocean, like jumping into the pool or the lake or whatever is one thing, but the Pacific Ocean.
Very interesting.
Know.
Very interesting that we're learning that Parth can't swim.
We did a little more. And
again, he's blaming it on a fear of sharks.
Sharks.
You know, I got some good instructors I can link you up with when you get back in town.
All righty, we'll connect.
So that next time, you know, we have a Caribbean event, you know, or we can get
there's
you.
There's been so many tropical / Caribbean / Pacific Island events.
Yes, I feel like I'm saddened by the fact that Parth can't go out and take advantage of these beaches been visiting.
Get like a, do like a canoe or something. You could just kayak out there.
A life jacket.
Yeah, I mean, we got there. Listen, we'll set it up off the air, and we look forward to, you know, making that happen here.
I'm going to find
you.
An excursion to get into. That's for sure. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Today's work day, obviously.
As far as Auburn team is concerned, you know, they're definitely – I stayed up and watched that game against North Carolina last night. I mean, you know, North Carolina maybe could have cut it to single digits there, but it was mostly just controlled. You know,
wire to wire, yeah.
Yeah, what's the best way you think for Memphis here, you know, to attack Auburn, and what's their recipe for success against this team?
Yeah, I think it's and it almost sounds crazy, right? It sounds like counterproductive, but let Jani Broom – do what he's going to do, right? And then try to limit everybody else, try to lock down everybody else. Like one player, you would hope, even if it's Jani Broom, National Player of the Year candidate, can't beat Memphis, a single player. So I think that'd be the strategy. But, man, their interior presence is something. You know, like they're top five in two-point percentage, you know, one of the best teams at blocking shots in the country. And, you know, obviously Memphis bigs are – that rotation's not only thin, but they've also struggled with foul trouble. So if, you know, Dane Danger, Nicholas Jordan, and Musa Cisse aren't able to stay on the court for 40 minutes, it's not going to be great, obviously.
What Parth has that, and I couldn't agree with you more, you might have to just let Broom get his, because, again, if you start trying to stop him, those bigs get in foul trouble, this could be over real quick. I'm curious, what's that Memphis contingent? The folks that we've seen a little bit of it on television. They were talking about it yesterday during the game. The folks that have gone out there, made the trip, how does it compare to an Auburn who you're going to play this afternoon? And then the other fan bases, how has Memphis traveled?
Yeah, Memphis has traveled well. I mean, even that opening game against UConn, it seemed like there were more Tiger fans than Husky fans in the crowd. It's been electric, man. I posted a picture on Twitter just to kind of show folks the amount of Tiger blue that was in that gym these past 2 days, but it's just been a party. Like, you've got, you know, Ed Scott on the sideline, like, jumping up and down, yelling, very much involved. You've got, you know, President Hargrave doing the same thing, boosters, just kind of everybody's been in on the fun here in Hawaii.
All right, so listen, we don't exactly know, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, I don't want to put anything on. I don't want to make any more predictions about this Memphis basketball team. What's so damn funny, Parth? I mean, I was trying to be sincere, you know, and contrite here, and you want to come on my show, you want to laugh my face.
No, I'm curious. How much crap have you gotten over the past 72 hours?
I mean, not really that much because, I mean, I'll be honest, like, I come hat in hand, you know? I mean, I have to do, you know,
you
I have
do.
To do that.
I saw your tweet.
You know, I feel, and the other thing is, I wanted to be wrong. I didn't want to be right. Can you imagine if I was right, how depressing that would be? So I'm happy to, like, be, and I wasn't saying it to hedge. I really did not really believe that Memphis would ultimately have some, you know, a spectacular season. But, you know, they execute better than I thought they would. The PJ and Tyrese work better together than I thought they would. And you're getting, you know, activity inside from Musa and Dane, and here we are. So, you know, I'm having a blast. So, you know, it's not like this is something that's making me, you know, that I'm not enjoying. So that's the other part. And people in Memphis know that, I hope. I hope that people in Memphis realize that. But, okay, let's just say whatever happens today, let's stipulate they don't win the game. Let's stipulate they don't win the game.
Okay.
How do you sort of characterize, you know, seven games of the season?
Art's got a vote, right?
Yeah. Where are you putting them?
I do. Yeah, I think if they don't win, I'm not sure where I would vote them, but my gut tells me they'd be 16, right, in that neighborhood, 15, 16, 17, if they don't win.
I think that feels right on, yeah.
Yeah, because then you've got the Auburn loss and also the fact that UConn went out and lost to Colorado yesterday. That didn't help matters.
Right, right.
Because it took the luster off that win a little bit. Now, if they win today and they look like the team they've looked like the past 2 days, where they're, you know, kind of wire to wire, which is going to be really tough to do against Auburn, which might be the best team in the country. But if they do pull that off, they do that and bring home that hardware from Maui, I think you're looking at top 10.
That'd be pretty incredible.
7-8 range, 6-7-8. It's not hard to imagine that, which is crazy to think about. They got no votes in the preseason.
That would be crazy. It's crazy to think about that. They're right from where they started to jump in the top 10 to debut there. Go ahead.
And I think what's shocking is, like, kind of the way not just Penny but his players have handled this, right? Like, this sudden emergence from under the radar, unheralded, to, you know, national media guys apologizing and saying it's a top 10 team. Like, they're looking like it's business as usual. Like, you know, we ask these questions about, you know, are you shocked or how have you handled this or what's this done to your psyche? And they just haven't, you know, gotten too high, gotten too low, anything. They expected this, it seems like.
Seems like it's just a bunch of workers and not necessarily, you know, a bunch of egos. You just never know, right, Parth? No, when you're putting together a new team year after year, you don't know which one's going to be. And maybe last year's a little bit more ego than worker. Is that how you'd compare the two teams?
No, no doubt. And we actually, so after that formal press conference, I don't know if y'all watched that or not, ended, me and Jason Munns, obviously from the Commercial Appeal, who traveled to Hawaii as well, we got Penny on the side outside of the gym. And I asked her about that. I said, hey, you know, this year, obviously it's been a great start, but so was last year. You know, last year around this time, people were celebrating as well. And you guys rose to number 10 in the country in January. And it looked like a top four NCAA tournament seed. And a team that can make the second weekend. Why is this different? Why does this feel different? What is new about this feeling compared to last year? And he said that, you know, he talked about kind of the process that him and the staff went through in vetting these players this offseason. He talked about, you know, calling multiple former college coaches. These guys have been at multiple stops. He said he called them. Guys who know them, doing background checks, character references, like kind of all of the above, which I thought was interesting that, you know, a year after kind of not getting burned because of talent, but getting burned because of personalities and egos and emotions, that he immediately took that lesson and put it to work by doing his due diligence and being thorough and figuring out who he needed for this program.
Parth, man, great stuff this week.
Right there.
Bring home a dub.
Appreciate you, brother.
One more. You've done such great work this week. What's one more dub, man? You can do it. Thank you, brother.
Let's get it, man. Appreciate y'all.
Yes, thank you, Parth.
He is Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphis. Funny guy, man. I got to tell you, I've spent more and more time with him the last few months, and he's a trip. T-R-I-P, bro. That dude is a trip.
Oh, yes. You spelled it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Double down.
Yeah. And, you know, I assume he's having a blast this weekend.
My man said he needed to get to an excursion.
See, that's the kind of time he's on.
I did. We did. That's when we did the parasailing on that last day. You got to get an excursion in before you leave.
That's right.
Yeah, it sounds like I'll be the only Tigers B rider that conquered Black Rock.
But he's definitely.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
He's definitely the.
Because I don't think Munz is. I ain't seen no videos of Munz swimming out there. And did Parrish ever get out there?
I don't think so.
Maybe did his time. I guess 06 would have been Woken.
You want me to ask him?
He's adventurous.
He is.
But I don't know if he swam out there.
Yeah. so anyway, yeah.
He is a world traveler.
But it Parth definitely, if we're doing superlatives, definitely most likely to run up a massage bill at the hotel.
Oh, yeah. Parth gets it all. Like,
I'm sure he was definitely.
Put it on the room.
They're monitoring those expenditures over
there.
Yeah,
because we already know he spent a mint in Puerto Rico.
Right.
We saw the numbers. We saw the receipts.
100%. Nah, that's the benefit, though. Like, he's like.
And then, what, we were scared we'd send him to San Fran before?
San Fran.
See, we didn't send Munz out there.
That's correct.
Because it's tight.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
Abundance at the Daily Memphian. You know?
Man, y'all folks definitely got it. Y'all just put Parth up.
We
give him extended stays.
That's right.
And extra time that Munz ain't getting.
That's right. We try to take care of our folks, man. That's what we try to do. But anyway, good stuff there from Parth Upadhyay, who's out there this week in Maui.
Don't be so nervous, man. You're so nervous. I can sense it. You're nervous about today. You're nervous about 4:00.
Yeah.
Again, you have already won the race.
I got that nervous energy when Memphis is good, bro. And when we're talking about like really, really good, not like, you know, top 45 good, but these are huge games, man. This is like a tournament game basically today that you're playing.
Yeah, but you're going in the rankings one way or the other.
That's right. It's this is a free swing.
Bit like house money for
this
sure.
This is house money, a better term.
Yes.
You're playing with house money. You know, you spent the week in Vegas. You're up like $5,000.
Auburn probably feels like they owe you.
Oh, yeah.
Because like you said, Broome was there 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Kendrick had 27 on you.
This is going to be a tough game for Memphis, man. I'm not expecting a win, to be totally clear.
I need Auburn to be a little tired.
Yeah.
That's what I need. But, you know, what'd you say? It's 9 guys for them? They running 9 guys out there?
Yeah.
Legitly 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's more than we got. We're legitly running 7 out there.
Yeah.
6 or 7.
Anyway. There you have it. Good stuff from Parth. We'll come back. Norton Hurd the IV is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about this week in Memphis basketball and more. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you try to find me? ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here for you. If you're renting, you've been thinking about owning a home, but maybe you're a little scared of the interest rates, don't. Get off the sidelines. You're paying 100% interest when you're renting, and you're not building your own wealth, your own net worth. You're building somebody else's. Stop doing that. Take matters in your own hands. Reach out to her friends and our friends at the Live Love Group. Jennifer Carson, her team. Sold at LiveLoveMemphis.com.
901-625-5200 is the number. Not enough folks calling it. That's what I think. Because I drive around this town, and I don't see enough Live Love signs in the yard. Seeing signs of others. Think you're making a mistake. You should at least make a mistake in not calling. At the very least, Jennifer is going to be a great resource for you. She'll get that thing sold. You won't have to lower the price, do anything like that. She's going to get it right that first time. That's what she's fantastic at. She's going to get you the most money you could possibly get for your home. She's done it in every market now and built a wonderful team. Just give them a chance. They've also got agents who speak Spanish. So, again, to our Spanish-speaking community here in Memphis, call up 901-625-5200. I could do that number in Spanish, but it would take me a while. It would take me a while. I did take Spanish. I just hope that you guys believe me there. Again, we've got Spanish-speaking agents. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right. So Grizzlies are in action tonight against the Detroit Pistons. Ja Morant not. Jeffrey Wright did have a tweet. It's fine. It's fine. We all fall short. The Grizzlies are in action. Ja Morant not. So that does need to be stipulated. So last night, let's just go over the recent NBA injury news here. Giannis got a late scratch yesterday against Miami. Ja Morant out tonight. Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey all out for tonight's game. Lauri Markkanen banged knees with Wembanyama, had to be helped off the floor. DeMar DeRozan out for Wednesday's tilt against Minnesota. Some of those guys more stars than others, certainly. But there's a piece up at Tom Haverstraw's Substack where he's compiled all the data, right? We talked about this. I had a tweet that people didn't like, they didn't appreciate about how I was going down to the Nuggets game and how it was kind of it was a bummer because of so many players. Jokic didn't play, Aaron Gordon didn't play, Ja didn't play. You know, a lot of stars were out. People didn't like the tweet. Tom Haberstroh has written about the injury situation in the NBA, and what you will find a year after they sort of made this new rule, right, must play in 65 games.
It's part of the CBA, new CBA, yes. Players agreed to it.
Star absences are up 52% year over year. So even after a year where they changed the rules and the expectations, up 52% year over year.
Wow.
15 games in, a whopping 32 of 49 NBA stars. I don't know how he defines stars. I guess he means you know, all-star in the last 3 years. You know, or is that some kind of measure? But 32 of 49 NBA stars have missed games. So, you know, listen. Tom Haberstroh thinks that, you know, at least one theory is the Olympics, but the Olympians are actually playing more than non-Olympians.
Kawhi didn't even play.
Yeah.
In the Olympics.
Yeah.
He's still in playing, is he?
Exactly. Still not. No, still not.
So that's what I'm saying. Forget the whole Olympic thing.
The Olympians have played 88% of their games.
Well, Tatum didn't even play, and now he is playing.
Yeah. Non-Olympian stars are down to 65%. So it's not the Olympics. Clearly can't be the Olympics. And I guess it's kind of hard, right? Like, it's kind of hard to, you know, determine and ascribe to one specific thing, like, you know, what it is, why so many players are missing games. But, Jason, there's no question about it. Like, it's not a problem today for the NBA because they just signed a brand-new rights deal. But in terms of, you know, growth and future, don't they have to figure this out in some way?
Well, didn't I just say the news on the crawl yesterday? I didn't dig in, but didn't the Hawks just get fined for holding Trey out of a NBA Cup game when they investigated and said that he shouldn't have been held out?
Mm.
You have an issue here. And what it looks like to me is that teams don't care about the teams, maybe I should say players, but obviously the teams are having a decision, having a say in some of these decisions to sit